From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Glenn Lutyens joins us. He's a licensed family therapist who's been on the Focus counseling team for 27 years. And prior to Focus, he spent time in church counseling and pastoral ministry. His wife, Elizabeth, and he had to have three young adult children. Glenn loves Jesus, has an affinity for lasagna, and cheers for the Las Vegas Raiders. And we've covered all the stuff where, you know, the NFL stuff, you know, we won't agree on, Glenn, but the rest of it, I'm right there with you. I'm the father of six and the grandfather of 12. Know that the topic we're going to cover is never really too late to go back to. We're talking to, which, let me slow down. Glenn, thanks for taking the time to walk through some marriage information for us, some encouragement for our listeners.
You're very welcome, Steve. Good to be with you.
Today we're going to be talking about what we'll call resist the drift in marriage. And without, you know, covering our whole conversation in a nutshell, when people ask you about that, Glenn, what do you tell them?
I think it's important. I'm thinking of the verse in Revelations 2:5. It's talking about our relationship with the Lord, but I think the application is similar, where it talks about, you know, return to the things you did at first. And a lot of times it's just easy to drift in various areas. And if we're able to kind of look back, where were we then? What were we dealing with? We're not going to ever be able to totally recreate that excitement of, you know, dating and courtship. But I think the Lord does desire for us to really put some energy and attention to it so that the excitement, the interest, the connection, the emotional safety, which is so crucial in the growth relationship of marriage, is present and growing.
Very good. Well, with that, we'll jump right into it. I mean, you and I are both at an age where this is not a surprise topic to us. I have to imagine, what percentage of marriages would you say fall into this at one time or another?
I think it's going to be probably most marriages will at least experience some level of drift. Obviously, too many marriages encounter where that drift leads to helplessness and hopelessness, so that people end up pursuing divorce, even though from their understanding, even their understanding of Scripture, they realize the importance of really working on and really addressing those issues that may keep them apart or may continue the drift in some ways.
Yeah, you know, we're going to kind of do this in two segments. And if we could, I think it'd be important for us to take the time to speak to married couples, or, you know, unmarried as you head into marriage, to watch for this, because I'm guessing this could really happen at any time. But could you be in the midst of a drift and not even realize it? What are some, you know, what are some things, some telltale signs that you maybe need to evaluate and see if you're in the midst of the drift?
Well, I would say when we have, particularly when we have children and the time and energy that it takes to pour into our kids' lives, if work has become, you know, the pursuit up the corporate ladder or whatever type of ladder is taking place in work, just some of those areas where attention to other things. It's important for both husband and wife to develop healthy friendships, but are those friendships kind of pulling us away from the core friendship, really, of the marriage relationship? People who say that they're most happily married are people who say that they're best friends.
Right. And I will tell you that I married my best friend, however, not immune to finding this for, you know, over 37 years. I mean, it's something that's more than likely bound to happen at some time. And you mentioned when we have kids, I think well addressed, a reminder that, you know, many of us as grandparents find ourselves, from, you know, being kept busy, with grandchildren or even co-parenting with our kids. Is that something you would agree, kind of falls into that?
Yeah, and that's happened more and more. I think probably over the last maybe 20, 25 years, there's just been a greater involvement. In one sense, it's great for grandparents to be involved, but are they sometimes maybe taking responsibilities instead of their children being the responsible parents? And so people have to be cautious and careful of that just so that they can put their attention into the relationship. There's a visual, Steve, that I think can be helpful when it comes to this concept of drift. And it really, in one sense, the kind of the foundation for this comes out of Psalm 127, verse 1, which says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." So think of various parts of a house, and they're basically four words, three Greek words, one Latin word, which relate to these four concepts of love. The first one would be agape. It's that unconditional love. It's what the Bible refers to as God's love for us. It's unconditional. In the marriage relationship, that love, husbands, love your wives. It's that word that's used. It's that unconditional love. It's love in spite of. And it's a foundation, because the foundation of a house is probably the most important part of the house. The frame of the house would be akin to the word phileo, the word we get for Philadelphia. I know a team that you enjoy as far as football is concerned. But brotherly love, it's companionship, it's friendship, and it's the frame of the house, because that's where life gets lived out. The third love would be eros love, the Greek word eros, which is really romantic love, and that's love because you. It's the qualities in the beloved that are drawing a person towards that other one. It's really what we often refer to when we talk about being in love, those emotional feelings. And then the fourth love would be Venus love. Once you have the house, then the furniture comes in, and that would be Venus love. That would be sexual love. So that choice of love, that companionship and shared activity, shared communication, the romantic is important, and then the sexual love. All four of those can experience drift. Sometimes we tend to think it's only the romantic, but if we're not looking at what are the ways in which that agape love is shown, phileo love is shown, eros love is shown, and Venus love is shown, then we can be drifting in each of those four areas.
Yeah, it's really important, I'm sure, to self-inspect from time to time to see where we are in each of those areas, and seeing a drift in any of them would be reason to, well, resist the drift, as we're going to be talking about today. And with that in mind, well, before we jump into maybe some solutions to help fix the drift, like other things, let me use another illustration. Often putting on weight, you know, it's put on slowly.
Right.
And, you know, one of the illustrations we think of in a relationship with Christ, you know, as we drift in that area, well, how many times have you heard a pastor say, no matter how many steps you've taken away, there's only one step back to the foot of the cross.
Right.
And to a certain extent, you could probably apply that here. Mm-hmm. However, there's some healing and mending to happen in that, you know, it was a slow drift to get where you are. Is it more than likely going to take some time to mend these areas?
Well, and I think a lot of times the drift can come when we don't have that kind of the brain memory that often can take place. If a child is growing up in a home where mom and dad really attend to and nurture their interactions, their friendship, their commitment to each other, that the romantic feelings, that's going to really provide, in a sense, a great avenue for that young woman or that young man when they grow up to have some brain memory for it. I had the privilege, my dad, we had kind of a small farm, and he would grow flowers. And I just remember him coming in like a 10-year-old kid with a bouquet of flowers for my mom. And just their affection towards each other, just seeing that, I think has been advantageous for me in my life. Now, if a person didn't see that, a person may need to look back. Are there some areas in my life that I need to address? You know, are there some hurts? Are there some wounds? So that I'm not allowing that to be a factor in the drift, but that I'm able to deal with that. So now I can develop those new healthy brain patterns of choice to love well and to love actually in all four of those areas we talked about a moment ago.
Very good. Well, listen, if you just joined us, we're spending a couple of segments on ABQ Connect visiting with Glenn Lutyens. He's a licensed family therapist with Focus on the Family 27 years prior to Focus, spending time in church counseling and pastoral ministry, is certainly equipped to share with us about resisting the drift in marriage. Glenn, so much appreciate the time. We're going to take a quick break. Can you stay with us through the break?
I sure can.
All right. We'll be back with more with Glenn Lutyens, Focus on the Family, after this on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Glenn Lutyens with Focus on the Family is our guest today. We're talking about resist the drift in marriage. Much of the content taken from the Resist the Drift Marriage Conference with Focus on the Family and Salem Media Group. You can find more information at focusonthefamily.com/resist-the-drift-salem-conferences. Glenn, again, thanks for taking the time to walk through this with us.
Steve, happy to do so.
In our first segment, we kind of identified, you know, things that you can look at in ways of noticing that the drift is occurring. And by the way, if you want to review this or share it with someone, it will be posted at abqconnect.online. In this next segment, Glenn, we want to take some time to look at some practical things we can do when we realize the drift is happening. And actually, even before the drift happens, I would imagine if we are practicing these things, we may even be preventative. Would you agree?
Yeah. In order to be able to do that, I think it's helpful to keep those four areas of love in mind, the ones I mentioned before, that unconditional love, which may translate into, let's say, you know, your spouse is working on a project and it's kind of late at night, but you know, and it's not enabling a spouse. Sometimes that can happen too, where a spouse may just kind of presume we're going to help, and there may need to be some boundaries. But I'm just talking about that time where, you know, can I be willing to forego an extra hour of my sleep in order to help my spouse out with a need at hand, that unconditional love or the friendship love? How do we set aside time to communicate together? Do we share our hearts? Do we look at what we're feeling and validating each other's emotions, even when we don't agree with their emotional conclusion? I'm of the mindset that the way in which we think about a situation will affect the way we feel. So when King Herod, the Christmas story, was angry that a baby was born, his anger was coming out of the way in which he was thinking about it. The emotion was simply showing what was going on within his heart. But to validate an emotion, you're just simply being a mirror. You're not judging it. You're not making a decision about it. You're just reflecting that back, and that becomes a very important component. The romantic, what are the ways in which those date nights can take place? Because those are the first sometimes to go. When we get busy, it's easy not to do those. And then the sexual love, making sure that we're not ignoring. Obviously, over the course of time in a marriage relationship, sexual intimacy, the frequency is probably not going to be as much as it was earlier on. But how do we honor it? How do we honor and respect that relationship so that all four areas are working in sync?
Very good. By the end of this segment, you will have been given a toolkit of things that you can work on when you find yourself in the drift, or you are intentionally trying to keep from ending up in the drift. The first one to talk about is a daily check-in. Glenn, what's the thought there?
The daily check-in is really just to be able to identify what are the primary emotions that I encounter today. Sometimes people will use kind of the concept of a thorn and a rose. So, you know, what was a thorn? What was something that was kind of difficult today? Maybe it relates to the relationship, something maybe a spouse has said or done, but maybe it was just something, the way my back is feeling, the way the weather is, whatever it might be. What's maybe a thorn, something that I didn't really enjoy? And then what's a rose? What's something that delighted me and that I can share? And hopefully then, as each person shares those emotions, those feelings are validated. Again, they're just being reflected back, maybe using the same word and also a synonym so that the spouse is able to convey that they're hearing and understanding what it is you are feeling.
Very good. Yeah, how important it is for us to clarify feelings, even in the midst of a conversation where there can be misunderstandings about, how each other may be feeling about, where we ended up in a conversation. Just good communication. Another is taking the time to pray together. How important is that?
Yeah. And I really think that for couples, sometimes people will, they'll say a quick prayer before dinner. But I think having some time, sometimes for people, it may be, before they go to bed, maybe it's when they rise up in the morning, but to have some time where each person can be open and just praying, what are those things that are going to be on my heart? In some ways, it kind of points back to, that check-in, because when I'm praying about something in my life or I'm praying about something that my spouse has shared, that check-in now is becoming, brought before the Lord, and there's really that spiritual connection that can occur.
Yeah, and of course, with that being said, let me slow down a little bit. That's assuming we're talking to families that are in a marriage that's based on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And right. if you find yourself not there, and you have, Glenn, we could spend a whole hour on that topic. But let me give you a real easy resource. Now, KLYT is on the campus of Calvary Church in Albuquerque, and there's a lot of great churches, but I do know on the website at calvarynm.church, you will find at the top of the page how to know God. And I'm not going to go through that in detail with you because it's someone else has done it already and it's available there. But our first encouragement would be for you to find Christ, and then see how in a Christian marriage, as you grow closer to Christ, you'll grow closer to one another, you are encouraged to take the time to pray together. And even on those days, Glenn, I would say where you miss out on that, if at your desk at work, or as you think about the kids or each other or areas that you're praying for, I'm not saying this should replace actual time together, but there are times where you could just send a text where you're saying, right. Hey, I'm praying about this. Would you join me in that?
Yeah.
So another opportunity to help resist the drift. And as far as growing our relationship with Christ, part of that is growing with the community around us. Taking that time to weekly be in attendance at church, assuming that physically you can do that. And if not, of course, there's plenty of places to do it online. But talk about that importance, the weekly church attendance.
Both, I think, for the opportunity of worship together, that we're worshiping the same Lord. And again, as you mentioned, Steve, sometimes it may be where one person is a believer in Christ, another is not. And so respecting and honoring that other person, and not trying to force them, but also being open to the Lord. But I think that worship together, and what are the things that we're growing in? Having some conversations, not just necessarily attending the service and then, okay, let's put it on the shelf until next week, but having some conversations where people can talk about what they are where they're growing and what they're understanding from the Word of God, maybe that was shared in a sermon, so that deepening of our desire to grow, where the Lord is on the throne of our life. It's not just simply us doing our own thing and putting a Christian tag on it.
Our next point that we're going to get to, I think, and that is the weekly date night. I think of what a wide variety of things that can happen there, quite honestly, depending on where people are financially, because I imagine saying that, and some people, we're broadcasting in New Mexico, and there's the poverty level is high here. Yeah, right. However, money or not, there are absolute ways to have extravagant, and you can be extravagantly frugal.
Right. Or extravagantly creative.
Yeah. Weekly date night, some ideas.
Yeah, I think that really is setting aside the time, setting aside the desire, not setting it aside as far as not having it, but setting aside the time in order to be able to have that time together. And people, it doesn't necessarily even mean that it has to be away from the home. I mean, it could be a scenario if people have difficulty. I'm not suggesting that they do this, as their regular routine, but if they have children, can you have a time where this is mom and dad's date time? And children know that. I mean, we might think, well, kids, they might want to interrupt, and yeah, they probably do. But if they begin to develop that understanding that mom and dad are setting aside time to care for their hearts together, I think that goes a long way as far as that brain memory for 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road when they are now in that position to really connect with their spouse.
You know, I love this list, and I'm seeing kind of a pattern here, Glenn. Part of it was a daily check-in. There's a weekly church attendance and date night. And then we get to an annual item on the checklist that is important for helping to resist the drift, that annual adventure together. What ideas do you have there?
Well, that can be, again, it may be impacted by financial concerns, get that. But what is something that we're going to be able to look back on 2 years ago, five years from now, and kind of view it as this was a meaningful part of our life? It doesn't have to be far from home, but what is something that is, maybe it's even something that we're doing. Maybe it's a class that we're attending together. But what's something that's meaningful for us that we both are connected to that's really drawing us together in that deeper understanding of one another and our opportunity to share our love as husband and wife?
Boy, I'm gonna jump on one of those things you mentioned, doing a class together. And so many churches now, listen, you may be attending a smaller church that doesn't have the resources or the people to have free class. And there's, just doing what I do and informing the public, I know there's a lot of churches, just here in Albuquerque, that have regular courses that are at no cost, that are an opportunity for couples to walk through that. What a great idea. I love that, Glenn. And if you just tuned in, we've been visiting with Glenn Lutyens. He's a licensed family therapist who's been at Focus on the Family for 27 years. And prior to that, spent time in church counseling and pastoral ministry. We've been addressing Resist the Drift in Marriage. A lot of the content taken from the Resist the Drift, just a sampling of what it would be to be part of these marriage conferences put on by Focus on the Family in Salem. You'll find the details at focusonthefamily.com/Resist the Drift Salem Conferences. And in way of putting a bow on it, Glenn, I'll throw it back to you. Is there anything we left out or anything you'd like to just finish with?
Yeah, let me just mention one key component to not drifting is to make sure that the relationship is emotionally and obviously physically safe. If people aren't feeling safe, if the only thing that gets communicated to them is how they are not being the right husband or the right wife, it's going to be one where the drift is going to just take place. So really looking for how can I reflect upon what my spouse is doing well? Because I think when we do that, there's almost that natural pull together, that if I can affirm my spouse in what she is doing and let her know how I appreciate Elizabeth and value her kindness and love, that's going to just keep us connected, I think, at a deeper level than if we don't do that.
All right. Well, again, Glenn, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate all the work you've done and are currently doing with Focus on the Family and equipping others to strengthen their marriages through Resist the Drift.
Steve, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.